This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, recovering Michigan politician, writing at American Greatness and Human Events, writing particularly about words by John Kerry, former Secretary of State, former member of the Senate, former presidential candidate, in these last days at the gathering in Davos, Switzerland. Mr. Kerry said, "We don't have time, folks, to be cobbling together bespoke deals here, there, and everywhere. We have to do it on a massive basis, and the key to that one is philanthropy. It's not the only key. We need governments to put federal public money into it." End quote. This from Thaddeus McCotter's piece on what we're looking at right now is world government, climate change, and Davos. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. Mr. Kerry's referring to legislation, investment, scientific breakthroughs on a massive scale. He uses the word massive about climate change. You write that this is a story that is permitting many of the liberal democracies to dominate the news. Does John Kerry mean to dominate the news with this warning that he's issuing now? We have to do this on a massive scale. We don't have time. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, the World Economic Forum, making the world safe for autocracy. Now, when you look at the Constitution, you recognize that the individual citizen is the sovereign and that their elected officials and now the bureaucracy are supposed to be public servants using the delegated sovereignty of the people to exercise power with the consent of the governed. John Kerry is not an elected official. He holds any power he has as a special envoy for the climate through a delegation from the President of the United States. So John Kerry is going over to talk to all these rich, filthy rich individuals and other EU bureaucrats and others. And John Kerry is telling them what they have to do to us. John Kerry is not speaking like the servant of the American people. He's speaking as if he's our master for some reason, which is not a role that we've entitled him to. We've not entitled anyone at Davos to do what they want to do to us. So I think that's the first thing that we have to get past is the fact that these individuals are claiming a power over us, which they do not have by any constitutional or judicial means. Only the fact that they're rich and they have a sense of self-enlightenment that they're the elect and that they are better than us. When you look at the World Economic Forum, basically what they are is a feudalism 2.0. The lords of the manor are going to dictate whatever meager liberty and prosperity we may possess. And they're going to use the climate change apocalyptic conspiracy to somehow scare us into ceding any rights that we may have to them so they can control us. I say, no, I reject it whole cloth. So at the end of the day, John, when you look at the World Economic Forum, it is probably the most elitist, snobbish, worthless institution you're ever going to see slither forth out of the primordial ooze to basically foist themselves upon a humanity that deserves far better than this, especially because much of humanity has, through the free market, enriched these people by buying their goods and services in the first place. You know, when you think about it, John, it reminds me a lot of Henry Ford's old peace ship. When during World War I, he wanted to make sure that he could end the war by taking a bunch of rich people on a boat over to Europe. It didn't work then. Davos is not going to work. And I don't think they can scare enough people out of their wits to cede what so many people have sacrificed so much that we may inherit.
The war in Ukraine, dominating the story in Europe, has led to governments that heretofore have been associated with renewables and decelerating their use of fossil fuel to reversing course. I mentioned Germany and coal and nuclear energy and natural gas. I certainly mentioned the accommodations that are being made in Italy and in the United Kingdom about fossil fuels and natural gas and even oil. Do you measure that created conditions where Davos was surprisingly not listened to, where the warnings, the apocalyptic language, was ignored?
There was a sign outside one of our national parks, and it talked about how a glacier will disappear in X number of years. The X number of years happened, and the glacier survived, and the sign was taken down. A lot of what we're seeing are based upon predictive models. We've seen the drawbacks with models during the COVID years. We've seen harmful policies based upon flawed models during the COVID years. And it's really kind of odd that people like John Kerry and others talk about how we need a COVID vaccine rollout for climate change legislation. It seems to me that these people do not learn from their mistakes, because to admit their mistakes means that their sense of superiority, moral and intellectual, will be lost, and they will have no appeal. They will have no argument to authority that they can make to the American people or to any people, free people throughout the world or anybody. So when you look at these individuals, John, what we're looking at are people who think that somehow their genius is omnipotent, that the fact they are very good at making money or making themselves successful within a bureaucratic setting means that they know everything about everything else. And we all know that's not the case. It's akin to putting a textbook under your pillow and falling asleep, hoping that that's the best way you can cram for an exam, that somehow the wisdom within the pages will somehow be imparted into you mystically. That's not how this works. The climate change, what we see, the models are always breaking down. What we see is, I think, we're starting to head in towards another cooling period. We had a mini ice age prior to the Industrial Revolution. We're coming out of it. We're starting to head towards what should be, again, a colder ice age, a mini ice age potentially. So when you look at it, we see these cycles throughout history. And I think what the left has done and what these climate change people have done is, in their desire to protect their own power, perks, status, and prestige, and money, what they're going to do is they've tried to create a narrative based upon the ordinary temperature cycles of the Earth and scare everybody into submitting to them. I don't think they'll be successful in the end.
Have they lost momentum? Because for several years before the pandemic, there was a concerted effort to make this a global problem, not just a U.S. or a European problem. So after
you see individual countries like Great Britain and others trying to use reparations to countries for their climate. This is one way to vitiate public opposition to foreign aid, is by scaring them that if you don't give money to other countries, somehow your world will end. When you look at some of the other things they're doing, I think a lot of the momentum's lost, because it quite simply, every time you cry wolf. And the other part of it is, let's assume that the 1.5 or whatever degree increase is actually the cause of man-made use of fossil fuels. Is socialism and the suppression of freedom the best way to achieve what's going to be needed to protect humanity? No. I think the free market and free people are able to handle 1.5 degree change temperature. I think they're able to find alternatives to fix it. And also, if you think about it, the apocalyptic ones, especially the ones who give you the dire warnings, when you think about it, John, you would think that if this is going to be the end of the world, as they rightly say, let's say if we were on the verge of a nuclear Armageddon, John, and there were countries that were on the verge of launching those missiles, you would do everything you can to pressure those countries not to launch those missiles, right? So why are they not attacking communist China, India? They're two great polluters on the face of the earth to stop the apocalypse. Why are you looking at countries that are already making significant reductions in CO2, such as the United States, such as Great Britain, and such as other countries in Western Europe? We are the ones leading on it through free markets and free peoples. So why aren't they doing everything they can, sanctions against communist China, sanctions against India, everything they can do to get them to stop polluting, to prevent this apocalyptic climate change, which is going to put humanity on the brink of extinction? Well, because if they believed it, they wouldn't be buying houses on Martha Vineyards right next to the rising oceans, would they, John?
That is McCotter writing at American Greatness about John Kerry's apocalyptic remarks at Davos. We don't have time. Massive investment, philanthropy, and public funds as well, says John Kerry. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.